The Bible predicts that Iran will play a key role in end-time prophecy. How does America's war against Iran fit in with this prophecy? Discover what the Bible predicts for Iran's future next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Mentioned Iran. We appreciate the relationship we've had over the short period of time with Iran. The primary thing, it's, you know, we can talk about the Iran deal all day long. We're not investing any money. We have the right to if we want, but we're not investing any money. We didn't pay for it like Obama did. He paid billions of dollars. He paid $1.7 billion from an airplane, all green cash. It was crazy. I watched that. I couldn't believe it. But the one thing that's happening that's of note, frankly, the only thing that really matters to me, is Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. And it says it loud and clear. Now, you talk about regime change. I never cared about regime change. It's never a part, but I guess you have regime change because you know better than anybody. The first group, they're all dead. The second group, they're dead. A part of the third group is gone. And we're dealing with people that I think are very rational people. I mean, they were nice to deal with. They were strong people, smart people. I think actually they're smarter than the first and second group. But they're not radicalized, and they're, you know, looking to help their country.
And so just like that, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, they're now rational. They're nice people, easy to deal with, not radicalized at all. Is this true? What is the evidence that we have suggesting this to be true? Is it true, or is it yet another foreign policy blunder, not unlike Barack Obama's nuclear deal with Iran in 2016? Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the program. Lots to get to on today's show. So when the JCPOA came out in 2016, those of you that read the Trumpet magazine regularly, you'll remember my father talking about that being the worst foreign policy blunder in American history. And now you have quite a few commentators, even conservative ones, that are saying President Trump's deal, most recently the Memorandum of Understanding, that it's just another JCPOA. He's selling it as if it's this big breakthrough. And you heard him there talk about the regime. They're still radical Islamists, last time I checked. But now you have President Trump and his negotiators. And they've been doing everything possible these past many weeks to just make a deal. And so we hear talk, it's a regime change. All the bad guys are dead, and now the ones that are there, they're reasonable. They want peace. They don't want to build a nuclear weapon. They're smart. They're not radicalized at all. This really does seem to be a huge mistake. This is putting so much faith, so much confidence in human nature. In this case, as I say, the number one state sponsor of terrorism. Are they suddenly off the terror sponsoring nations? Are they off that list? Now they're seen as reasonable. From the very beginning of this bombing campaign against Iran that started earlier this year, if you follow the Trump administration, if you follow all of his spokespeople, it's quite obvious that they've been looking for a way out, looking for a way to get out of this war, to avoid the cost of oil going higher, to clear the backlog in the Strait of Hormuz, to prepare for the midterm elections. That's coming up here in the United States in a few months. And so here is this rush to put together this memorandum of understanding. And the initial reports following it, if they basically, Iran gets everything at once. Sanctions lifted. $300 billion for reconstruction. And what does the United States get in return? Well, pretty much a promise that Iran's going to be nice. They reiterate the fact that they're certainly not going to build a nuclear weapon. This really and truly is delusional thinking. And if you go back to what we wrote about Iran just a few months ago, the April issue of the Trumpet magazine, and as you'll see on the program today, if you go back even further, if you go back 30-some years, you'll see over and again that we were right with respect to Iran. This is from January of 2026, so earlier this year at the Trumpet. We wrote, Trump's ultimate aim is always the deal. This assumes good faith on the other side. This is a wild assumption that the new mullahs are not fanatics. They're not religious fanatics. They're reasonable people. They're nice people. They're not radical at all. As we wrote, this assumes good faith on the other side, even from a murderous Islamo-fascist terror state. The military's main purpose, even when force is used, is to jumpstart negotiation. Now, initially, the Trump administration talked about unconditional surrender. That's what he was expecting. But now it's obvious. The military campaign was meant to bring on negotiations to ensure that they could do a deal, in this case with this Islamo-fascist terror state. It says here, this is why the Trumpet remains confident that whatever happens, somehow Iran will remain radical enough and powerful enough to fulfill its prophesied role as the King of the South. As we wrote, after this past summer's strikes, that would be last summer, when we were told the nuclear program in Iran was just obliterated from another bombing campaign, and yet we were back at it. Just months later, as we wrote after this past summer's strikes, in the end, the way America handles Iran will be a powerful lesson in the danger of failing to deal completely with evil. And so here is a case where military force was used not to conquer the enemy, but to bring them to the negotiating table. And in the end, as we were saying back in that April issue of the Trumpet magazine, in the end, it's going to empower Iran. It's going to make them stronger. And in the end, you're going to have another nation, Germany, after watching all of this, understand fully what it's going to take the next time around, the next time that this prophesied King of the South has to be dealt with. A few headlines from the New York Times. It says, Iran will enter nuclear talks feeling emboldened. It says, despite military setbacks during the war, Tehran is presenting a narrative of victory before negotiations with Washington. They just had to wait us out. They just had to survive. In order to win, they had to survive. And that's what this memorandum of understanding is. It's a lifeline. It's throwing a lifeline to the mullahs and then patting them on the back along the way, saying, you're not radical at all. You're nice people. You're rational. You're great to work with. You're reasonable. In the Washington Post, it says, the emerging agreement ends a costly war, but leaves Iran's leadership intact and its nuclear future still subject to negotiation. That hasn't even been negotiated yet. The nuclear future, that comes after the memorandum. And yet all of the fanfare surrounding the memorandum, that this is a very strong deal, as the commentators have said, or the administration has said, it's a strong deal. And it's going to lead to peace in the Middle East. Will it? What's been the history? Just look at the history. Look at the recent history. Look at the past 47, 48 years. Lee Smith over at Tablet, he says, another president chooses surrender. And that's what this is. America is choosing to surrender. This is not in any way an unconditional surrender on the part of the mullahs. It's just the opposite. Thus, it seems that what Trump has frequently called the worst deal ever negotiated and has identified for more than a decade as Exhibit A in the case against American loserdom has now become the pattern of his own Iran policy. More and more, you listen to him talk about the memorandum or the negotiating, and his people sound like Obama's people. The same approach. It says, and like Obama's, the plan is to gorge the IRGC with money and pave the way to a nuclear bomb while restraining Israel from responding to missile attacks by Iran and its proxies for the sake of what it euphemistically calls regional order. And so President Trump has been handcuffing Benjamin Netanyahu, telling Bibi no more attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon. And everything's supposed to settle down. We told you in the April issue of the Trumpet magazine that Iran would survive this and that the Trump administration would not finish the job. How did we know this? Well, we can look at recent history. But more important than that, we look at Bible prophecy. There's a clash between the King of the South, the King of the North. We'll look at that in Daniel 11 in just a moment. But America's not even in the picture at the time of that clash. America's long gone. America's too weak to act at that point. Now, to his credit, President Trump did take some action earlier this year, last summer. But what happens if you fail to finish the job? Well, the number one state sponsor of terrorism will come roaring back. My father gave a Key of David program. This goes way back to 1993, where he was talking about the King of the South. Again, that's mentioned in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Notice what he said in that show, clip 2.
These verses point to a King of the South that is yet future. And I believe all indications point to radical Islam headed by Iran as this king. The King of the North is guided by a great religion, and it appears the King of the South is also. That is probably the only way they can unite anyhow. That is religion bringing them together. It would seem logical that two strong religions would clash when they are both in the same general part of the world. Both are also vying for power in a very aggressive way.
What a time to put your faith and your trust in the human heart when you have this spectacular clash, this religiously motivated clash that's about to explode onto the scene and trigger, in fact, trigger World War III. That's what your Bible prophesies. Notice Daniel 11 and verse 40, it says, and at the time of the end, so this is for the last days, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So this verse tells us that the king of the south pushes and pushes and pushes at this now forming European Union or empire, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Radical Islam has a very pushy foreign policy, and we've seen that play out in recent months. Look at how it uses oil to push. Look at how it uses the Strait of Hormuz to push, to aggravate. That's what it's been doing. And notice, as I say, this verse says it's at the time of the end. And nowhere in this passage does it describe the United States as confronting the King of the South like it did a few months ago. The U.S. is on the way out, and someone else, another nation, is going to come in and finish the job. As I say, Germany has been watching. Germany has been observing. Germany can see what has worked to some degree, what hasn't worked, and Germany can see when the job goes unfinished. Just look at the prophecies of God that talk about weakness in the nations of Israel in these last days, Leviticus 26, Isaiah 3, that's what's prophesied. Here's what my father writes in The King of the South. These two booklets, by the way, we're going to draw attention to today on the show. The King of the South, and then this one, Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. That's coming. That's yet in the future. If you don't have copies of these booklets, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copies. This is from the King of the South booklet. It says, our leaders fail to understand history because they refuse to understand that evil human nature is within every individual on earth, including you and me. So it's not like that Jeremiah 17:9 nature is just limited to radical Islamists or the mullahs in Iran. We all have it. But it just so happens that the mullahs tell us that we're the great Satan. And they want to destroy America. They want to destroy little Israel. They do not try to conceal that fact. They will talk the talk and pretend this or that just to kind of string us along and to continue the negotiations and to get sanctions lifted. But what has been the history? Jesus said to judge by fruits. You have to look at the fruits. My father says here, for example, our refusal to use our military might is often not because of righteousness, as we like to believe, but despicable weakness resulting from our sins. We simply lack the faith, character, and courage to fight against Iran, the number one terrorist nation today. It says, in the end, we will prove too weak to survive. As Melanie Phillips wrote recently, this memorandum, the deal-making with Iran, it's just showing how strong Iran still is, even after being hit hard. And it's also revealing how weak America is. For a moment, it certainly seemed like the Trump administration and the United States was prepared to fight against this evil force. For a moment. But now look at the unlimited trust that we put in the human heart, a heart that is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17, hostile to God and His law, Romans 7, Romans 8. Paul said there's nothing good dwelling in man. What a catastrophic failure to understand the truth about the human heart. If ever you need an understanding about the human heart, it's when you go into negotiations with religious fanatics. Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. And then, of course, the King of the South booklet, where it'll take you back to what my father was saying in 1993, 33 years ago, when we correctly identified the King of the South, a movement, a radical Islamist movement, headed up by Iran. We talk about subjects like this and a lot of other subjects with respect to prophecy on our daily broadcast, the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to watch that, you can see it every day, live or on demand. Just go to our website, thetrumpet.com. Stay tuned for the final segment. And in the meantime, feel free to request these two booklets by just going to keyofdavid.com, or you can call the operators. The number there is on your screen. We'll be right back.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.
But here is the great illusion that we have today in the Western world, and especially in America and Britain, and even in the, to a lesser degree, I think, in the Jewish nation in the Middle East, and that is that we can solve all problems through negotiation. And that is a delusion. It is a delusion. If you go ahead beyond judgment and wisdom and negotiate with people who will make no concessions at all about their vow to destroy you, Well, then it becomes a wound. It's not a peace pact. It's a wound. God calls these peace pacts we're making around the nation of Judah. God is telling us that those are wounds. They're not going to bring peace. They could never bring peace. There is a time when, well, you have to realize that negotiation won't solve that problem. If you continue negotiating, then you have a great wound, whether it's America and Britain or the nation in the Middle East, the Jewish nation in the Middle East. These are deadly wounds.
Negotiation won't solve this. As he said there, that was back in 2015. The message has been consistent from the start, coming from God's work, coming from our literature. We were right. And now we're seeing it play out. It's exposing, all the negotiation is exposing the wounds, the deadly wounds, the sickness. That's my father in 2015 speaking when President Obama was really pushing for this JCPOA, which in the end would have given Iran a nuclear bomb. Is that something that the world can afford to do? Melanie Phillips, she says in a recent article, Trump has said repeatedly that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon, and if it tried, it would suffer unbelievable consequences. But he has also said, we are talking to them about a 15 to 20 year ban. Well, which is it? This sounds exactly like the 2015 Obama deal, with the U.S. declaring then, too, that Iran would never get a nuclear weapon. Obama's people said it. Trump's people are saying it. How different is this from the JCPOA? Is it different or is it more of the same? Melanie Phillips says, J.D. Vance says the big difference from the Obama deal is that Iran will be required to verify its commitment not to build a nuclear weapon. But the Obama deal also required verification. Yeah, verification was required under Obama. And Iran just simply didn't comply. They let inspectors go to certain locations, but then they shut them out of other locations. So is it going to be any different this time? Or is it just more of the same? History's repeating itself. War of broken promises leaves Israel weakened and despondent. That's another angle to this story. Look at how the relationship between America and little Israel in the Middle East, it's just unraveling. Israelis, they can't figure out what's happened. These are dramatic changes coming out of the Trump administration. It's as if Israel's being made the bad guy because they're going after terrorists in Lebanon, because they wanted to finish the job in Gaza or with Iran. The Telegraph says here, while the U.S. president and much of the rest of the world cheered the deal, for Israelis there was a sense of anger that the nation was strong-armed into accepting a deal that leaves the head of the octopus in place and restricts the IDF from operating against Hezbollah. That's the reality. The Israelis know this. The head is left in place. We've been saying the head of the snake. It's left intact. The rally in world stock markets, as Iran promised to release its chokehold on Hormuz and the wider world economy, only made matters worse, implicitly confirming the power of Israel's arch enemy. Yes, indeed, they still have power, Iran. They still have some leverage. Even with their military wiped out, they still were causing trouble in the Straits. Notice what it says in Leviticus 26, verse 19. This is about the end time nations of Israel. God says, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength, verse 20, shall be spent in vain. We've spent a lot of strength this year, last summer. And what do we have to show for it? A memorandum? A memorandum of understanding made with people, not radical Islamists, but reasonable people, I guess. This is the narrative that people are hard at work trying to construct. We wrote back in 2001, this is just months after 9/11. We said it then, whether it was the Obama years or where we are right now or going back to George W. Bush. It says, does America have the will to see it through, this war against terrorism? What happens when the war spreads from Afghanistan to other less isolated governments? When world opinion begins to turn on the U.S.? What happens if American soldiers begin to die or if retaliatory terrorist attacks on American soil intensify? Would the unanimity of public opinion fracture? Would fear intensify and determination falter? They know. America's enemies know. Just wait them out. It's a war of the wills. Just be patient. Just survive. And victory is ours in the end. To study more about God's prophecies regarding the King of the South, the King of the North, make sure you order our free literature today and also subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, as I've quoted to you from today, whether it's the April issue a few months ago or this one back in November of 2001, you see over and again that we were right, not because we know anything special, but because the sure light of Bible prophecy shines forth on these world events that we see unfolding. That's all we have time for on today's show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.